Good morning. I'm just really great to be here in Redfield Wesleyan this morning. I'm glad to be here to preach for all of you on this Sunday. And it's March 2nd, and that is an important day for us. 234 years ago today, John Wesley had passed away and entered heaven. And you'll hear that name a few times today in this sermon, so you better enjoy it. Today's piece of scripture for it comes from the gospel. It's Luke 8, 22 through 25. I just ask that you would stand while I read the gospel. Wind and wave obey Jesus. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind, then the raging of the water, and they ceased. And then there was calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." You may be seated. In the 1730s, in the Austrian city of Salzburg, a Catholic bishop came to power and offered his citizens a verdict. You had to either become Catholic or leave. The Protestants chose to stay strong in their faith, and they left the city. They had set sail for the free colony of Georgia, where they were promised protection for their faith. With them on their voyage was our Wesleyan forefather, John Wesley. Now, this was no easy sailing. During their winter sail across the Atlantic, there was storm after storm, but this storm was the worst one yet. This storm struck amidst the middle of the worship service of the Germans who were on board. Despite not knowing German at the time, Wesley had joined in with them. During the liturgy, the storm strengthened and a tremendous wave raged up and tore the mainsail apart, and it poured into the innards of the ship. Just like the disciples with Jesus in their boat, John Wesley and many others were in utter horror in their situation and their terror. They had thought they had reached the end of their earthly journey. Despite the horror and screams of the English, the Germans, who were still in the middle of their worship service, looked up for a brief moment, and they carried on singing their psalms and hymns. After the storm had waned, he struck up a brief conversation with them. In it, he found that not only the men, but the women and the children were so assured of their faith that they were not afraid to die. This interaction had inspired him so much that his life was never said to be the same after this. Their faith in their Lord Jesus Christ was an inspiration to all on the ship. Even the weakest of the heart were warmed. The Bible is full of all these extraordinary testaments of faith that inspire. You could spend an eternity in awe of each one. If only we were in the midst of Moses when he defied the Egyptian Pharaoh, or Abraham preparing to sacrifice his only son, or even when Noah, despite the ridicule and mocking of his neighbors, built an ark, and Daniel continually praying despite the punishment of being thrown into the den of lions. These stories of their testimonies of their faith are incredible. Look closely, and you'll notice that they happen around us here every day. Of course, these mighty acts of biblical heroes inspire the faith of others, but any of our small acts of faith are an inspiring testimony to the character of Christ. They are the good works that naturally outflow from the Holy Spirit within us. They are not for our own selfish glory, but for Christ's own righteous glory. We don't do them because we can get rewards in heaven for them. And we don't do them to show off that we are holier than our neighbor. And we don't do them because we are trying to save ourselves, because none of us are good before God. We do them because they are prepared for us by our God. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul writes, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In other words, we're not saved by our good works, but we're saved for our good works. This is the result of our salvation through grace. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Not only do they glorify God, but again, they are a service to others. This is a central part of our identity as Wesleyans. John Wesley once stated that doing good of every possible sort and as far as possible to all is a way of living out our faith. Our service to others is fulfilling the biblical command to love others. We are to be selfless in our good works, just as Jesus Christ was selfless to us. Through this, they will know us through our love. Much of the world, unfortunately, never sees this light on the hill. We live in such an overbearing shroud of depressiveness and secularism that any slight shining of the light of Jesus Christ can fundamentally change someone. One taste of our fruits of the Holy Spirit can change oneself completely. All too often, we Christians retreat from society entirely. Thus, the society has become fruitless. We are to be in the world, but not of it. This is one of the toughest parts of being a Christian. In our fruitless world, let them take joy in our fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is a part of our greater purpose from God. Just as the ever-popular children's hymn says, "This little light of mine," it says, "I'm going to let it shine." The world is our mission field to let our works shine. Of course, there will always be mission trips far across the globe, but every day of your life is a mission trip. Whether it be work, school, sports, or any other social event, these are your daily missions. Whether they see the light, where they see the light of your good works from Christ. So I ask of you this week to go forth and let your light of Christ shine. And I believe that brings us to our closing of "Be Thou My Vision."
Thank you for that message. Stand with me if you would, please, as we sing, "Be Thou My Vision."